ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ द डीमन पुतना टेक्स्ट 19। यशोदारोहिणीभ्यां ता समं बालस्य सर्वतः रक्षां विदधिरे सम्यक् गोपुच्छ भ्रमणादिभिः यशो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला एसी भक्तिविदान स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन देयर आफ्टर मदर यशोदा एंड रोहिणी अलोंग विद द अदर एल्डरली गोपीज वेव्ड अबाउट द स्विच ऑफ अ काउ टू गिव फुल प्रोटेक्शन टू द चाइल्ड श्री कृष्ण। When Krishna was saved from such a great danger, Mother Yashoda and Rohini were principally concerned, and the other elderly gopis, who were almost equally concerned, followed the activities of Mother Yashoda and Rohini. Here we find that in household affairs, ladies could take charge of protecting a child simply by taking help from the cow. As described here, they knew how to wave about the switch of a cow so as to protect the child from all types of danger. There are so many facilities afforded by cow protection, but people have forgotten these arts. The importance of protecting cows is therefore stressed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishi go raksha vanijyam vaishya karma svabhavajam. Even now in the Indian villages surrounding Vrindavan, the villagers lived happily simply by giving protection to the cow. They keep cow dung very carefully and dry it to use as fuel. They keep a sufficient stock of grains, and because of giving protection to the cows, they have sufficient milk and milk products to solve all economic problems. Simply by giving protection to the cow, the villagers live so peacefully. Even the urine and stool of cows have medicinal value. There and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow to give full protection to the child Sri Krishna. So here thereafter means after the death of Putana, the two mothers, Yashoda Rohini, the word ta means all other elderly gopis and samam, equally as important as Yashoda and Rohini. The other gopis of Vrindavan, elderly gopis especially, they also share the same vatsalya bhav, the feeling that Krishna is my child. Krishna also reciprocates with them in a similar way. Of course, Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion cautions us that if being a mother of Krishna is a big privilege, so devotees do not try to artificially become the mother of Krishna or the father of Krishna. Because Nanda, Yashoda are Nitya Siddha associates. But any other devotee can have the aspiration of becoming an assistant to Nanda Maharaj or Yashoda Devi. Share the same love. Our understanding of love is so much materially contaminated that if somebody gets more attention, we feel that, oh, this love is divided. Among siblings, brothers, sisters, this problem occurs. But in the spiritual world, it is not so. Happily, a devotee agrees, whoever wants to cultivate that vatsalya ras, to become subordinate to Mother Yashoda. In fact, later we will find in the Damodar Leela, just the way in which Mother Yashoda was churning butter, our acharyas write in the purport that those devotees who want to bring up their Vatsalya Ras should meditate on this particular sight, this particular scene where Shukdev Goswami goes to such a great length to describe. Second thing about this verse today is Krishna is being rescued from such a horrible incident where someone comes as a mother and then she shows her ghastly form as a witch who just wants to kill him. And what do? They just wave the switch. Switch here means the chamar is made from the hair on the tail of a cow. So that collection, like sometimes I've seen people from a live cow, you just wave it, take the tail and certainly today we will look upon this as superstition, or you may say, what is the tangible effect? Can you measure it with some instruments? Can we actually understand it, whether there is real protection or not? It is surprising that things which cannot be measured with some instruments are seen as superstition. At the same time, we find other so many kinds of superstitions so rampant, and there is no explanation. Niels Bohr was a Nobel Prize winning physicist. He had put a horseshoe on his laboratory door. He had nailed it. Horseshoe, nail. He had nailed it on the door of his laboratory. So somebody asked him that, what is that for? So he says it's supposed to bring good luck. So they said, well, you can't say that. You are such a man of science and you are so intelligent, and how can you of all people claim that a horseshoe is needed for good luck? He said, well, it is supposed to bring good luck even if you believe it or not. So today, we need those good luck charms which work even if you don't believe in them. So therefore, it's a massive uphill task to bring back this faith. And Prabhupada, oh, so diligently, always eager to remind us that simply by giving protection to the cow, the villagers live so peacefully. Seems to me that as we join the Hare Krishna movement, at least we have come to some tangible understanding about the efficacy of the Maha Mantra, that, well, at least the Maha Mantra works. At least it worked sometime in my life. I may not be happy all the time, but I have tasted a little bit of nectar. And in this way, we need to build up. Like, I remember the first, last month, I had a verse which talked of the economic gains of cow protection. And that's where the whole thing centers around. Anyway, the later verses have dealt with this particular thing about cow protection in more detail. So I will leave it to the speakers of those particular verses to present that matter in more detail. Today happens to be Sri Krishna Madhura Utsav, and it is simply a Ras Leela Utsav which is performed in this particular month. There is Ras Leela in the Sharad Purnima time. And Bengalis, they like to celebrate Rasala during this period. So that's the significance of Krishna Madhura Utsav. Today also happens to be the divine appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So I have some points about Putana's death, which we'll take later. And briefly, although I'm not so qualified, but just for my own purification, a little about the leelas of Narottam Das Thakur. If Lord Chaitanya had brought his associates, his own internal associates, before his advent, like Advaitacharya and Shivas, for them it was not much of preaching because the Lord had not made his advent yet. But they kind of made the ground ready. Some associates were almost Mahaprabhu's contemporaries, same in age, like Gadadhar Pandit, almost similar in age. Narottam Das Thakur belongs to those, that category of associates who came much later. And our Gaudiya Vaishnav lineage says that Lord Chaitanya's associates will continue to come because this is his age. They will all the time, his leela will continue. I think the Chaitanya Bhagavat says, Adyapiha leela kare gora rai. Even now, the leelas are continuing. Kono kona bhagyavan dekhi bare pai. If you are fortunate enough, you can see that. So Gopal Pur Pargana or Gopal Pargana is a village, and there was a king, Krishnananda Dutt. Purushottam Dutt and Krishnananda Dutt were the two. Like one is a king. Kings in those times would mean somebody having dominion over a few villages or a cluster of villages, and he would be the zamindar or the king. So Narottam Das Thakur was born in a royal family. His mother, Narayani Devi, was immediately, she came to understand that this child is not normal. And right from the various samskaras which Narottam Das Thakur was administered, his namakaran, jatakaran, hate khadi and all that, it all bore the marks of a very, very divine personality. And somehow he was not interested in royal life. He was not interested in becoming a king again after his father. So one day the Nawab had sent a summons for the father and the uncle. So both had to go out. And seeing this, Narottam just escaped. Many years before Narottam Das Thakur's appearance, Lord Chaitanya had looked in the direction of Sri Kheturi Gram, that place where he would be born. And Lord Chaitanya suddenly started shouting, Narottam, Narottam. And devotees around were wondering, why is he? Narottam basically means the best among human beings. Nara means humanity, human beings. And Uttam is the best. Some devotees came to the conclusion that Mahaprabhu is hinting at the appearance of some great person who will be the best among human beings. When? How? He didn't say anything. Then Lord Chaitanya explained that I have put, now this is something very unusual, I have deposited Krishna Prem in this river for this particular person. And this itself made people wonder, well, what kind of personality is that Mahaprabhu is saying that I have personally put a deposit of prema here, love of Godhead. How will we know that this is the person that who he is entitled to this particular treasury. So it was described that when the river Padma overfloods, then you will know that this is the right person. So when Narottam Das Thakur had come to take his bath there, suddenly devotee saw that the river just welled up, wave after wave, and this kind of flooding, and everybody came to know that he is that person. Many years even before that, another great soul, Loknath Prabhu, Loknath Goswami, he was told by Lord Chaitanya that you go and stay in Vrindavan, do your bhajan there. And now Loknath Narottam Das Thakur, of course he became Das Thakur later, but Narottam Das Thakur was told, you go and serve Loknath Maharaj, Loknath Goswami. He has already escaped from his family life. He never married. He was a lifelong brahmachari. He came to Vrindavan, searched out for Loknath Goswami, where he could find him. I think, if I am not mistaken, today this village is Khaira village. That's the place where Loknath Goswami would be doing his bhajan. Now, Prabhupada has made initiation very simple or simplistic. That somebody comes to ISKCON, stays for 6 months, checks out, somebody checks him out, and he's ready for initiation. At least that is the norm. But here, Narottam Das Thakur was just told that you go and surrender to Loknath Goswami and take initiation from him. What he understood was, he was not interested in any kind of trying to give discipleship, trying to make disciples. He was just simply not interested. So he devised a plan. The way to the heart of a great soul is by rendering service. And Narottam Das, although from a royal family, he chose to clean the spot where Narottam Das Thakur would go to pass urine and stool every day. So that means he would have to rise even before Loknath Maharaj would rise, go to that spot, clean it up, put clean water over there for his use. He did this for 1 year. And finally, Loknath Goswami could stand no longer. He just said, who is this who is doing this kind of service? Please, I want to know. And Narottam Das came out. And he said, will you accept me as your ashrit, as a surrendered soul? He said, but I don't take disciples. He didn't say anything. Then Loknath Maharaj, Loknath Goswami, he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, why didn't you accept him? He said, but I was just told here to do my bhajan here. And I'm not interested in having disciples or any other thing now. So then Mahaprabhu explained the greatness of Narottam Das Thakur. So Loknath Goswami made only one disciple throughout his entire life. And that was Narottam Das Thakur. Later he was entrusted under the tutelage of Jiva Goswami, where Shyamananda Pandit, Loknath Goswami, Loknath Maharaj, Shyamananda Pandit, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, they became very good friends. Narottam Das Thakur is credited with one major achievement, and that is reviving preaching almost 50 years after Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were over. Now please try to understand, it's a difficult period. We ourselves know, after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, things were not easy. In fact, there is a description in the Puranas that before the Acharya arrives, there is chaos, and he brings order in chaos. And when he leaves, again chaos returns for at least some time. So Narottam Das Thakur was instrumental in, first of all, the kirtan style. What kind of kirtan should be considered authorized? So he is our acharya for that particular purpose. Mass spreading of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Understanding of Gaur Tattva. We may sing so many songs and we feel that, oh, they are nice Bengali songs. But if you understand, they contain the essence of Vedic understanding. I think Gaur Kishoradas Babaji was asked, Babaji, how do we get Krishna Prem? So he says, 15 paisa. And they were surprised, what do you mean? Krishna Prem is available for only 15 paisa? He said, yes, for 15 paisa or something like that in those times, you can buy a copy of Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana. Two books written by Narottam Das Thakur. He said, just read those books and understand what Krishna Prema is. Just the first two lines of our Guru Vandana, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Just a line of Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan is sufficient to make us understand what is the importance and who's what. What is the importance of a guru? So what Vishwanath Chakravartipad gave in elaborate Sanskrit prayers later, Narottam Das Thakur had given in very simple Bengali bhajan, simple Bengali language. And that's his eternal credit. So, I think for two or three of Narottam Das Thakur's songs, Srila Prabhupada gave an extensive purport. And I will conclude this small, brief description of Narottam Das Thakur's life with what Srila Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, these songs written by Narottam Das Thakur, they are like thunderclap. The thunderclap in the monsoons. In what language does the thunderclap? There is no language. But the moment you hear it, you understand. Like there are still some people who, because of some childhood experiences, whenever the thunderclap, they just rush into their bed. There is fear. So similarly, Prabhupada said, this sound vibration of Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans is like thunderclap. The moment a living entity hears it, the effect will be there. So Narottam Das Thakur ki. Ten more minutes. Now, in this verse, we see that Putana is dead. She was killed in a miraculous way. Putana stands for evil. And especially evil, the way Kali Yuga evil is. It comes disguised in a very beautiful form. The world today is influenced by Western thought. And in the West, whatever religious information they have, they don't know what do you mean by how can a good God allow evil? How can a God who is all good allow evil? I'm sure many in the audience here would have thought about this particular thing. At least once in your life, someday at least, this thought must have crossed that if God is all good, how do you allow the existence of evil? Evil is called devil in the English language. Or Satan. Somehow Satan and the Arabic Shaitan, they have come to Indian culture. But in India, Shaitan is like a mother may call her son Shaitan kahin ka, Shaitani mat karna. So Shaitan basically means mischievous. Amazing. And everybody in ISKCON, at least every day, at least every hour or sometimes every minute, you have the word Maya. And Prabhu, don't be in Maya, or I am in Maya, or this is Maya, or that is Maya. And for the Western people, Maya is like some kind of a software, I think, which is used for morphing or something. So Maya is not such a bad word. So for us, this is Satan. We say, who? But there, for example, the Buddhists, they have the story that Siddhartha, that great personality who later became the great preacher of non-violence, he was thoroughly tested. All kinds of allurements, all kinds of sensual enjoyments were offered to him under that Bodhi tree, Bodh, enlightenment. And he said, no, 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 no. I don't know how many days it went. I mean, many, many days it went. Finally, he won. And he came out thoroughly exhausted. So they say, this is that struggle with evil. Evil will always tempt you. Jesus, he fasted for 40 days or something like that. And what was the final test? Devil came and showed him. He took him on a high peak and showed him everything below. All this is yours just for the asking. So he says, what do you want for me to do? Just be my servant, that's all. Agree to be my servant. Just verbal agreement also is good. Okay, I agree, and that's good. I'll give you everything. So the story goes that Jesus said, get behind me. That's old English language. That means actually get out. I will not agree to become a ruler over this entire area which you're offering. So like the saints say, better to serve in heaven than rule in hell. Because it is rule, it is control, which is what the devil offers. Then of course, Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent, who said, why doesn't God allow you to eat the fruit of that particular tree? Well, he's told us that it is dangerous. I know why it is so, he said it's dangerous. That tree is the tree of knowledge. And anyone who eats that fruit gets knowledge. And if your knowledge is as good as God, you are God. Isn't that simple? If I have some money, your money equals my money, then we are both rich equally. I have some grades, you also get grades equally like me, then you and me are equal. So this deep rooted urge to somehow become equal, or at least to claim some kind of equality, that was a thought put in the minds of Adam and Eve, that yes, God is a very selfish person. He just wants to remain God and control you. So if you eat that fruit, you also become like him. They ate. They succumbed to that desire. So throughout the cultures, there is common agreement that evil is something which takes you away from God. So Putana, she is evil. Now she is so evil, she is not taking others away from God, she is taking God away from others. She doesn't want to kill individual people's desires to become Krishna bhaktas. She directly wants to kill Krishna. What kind of evil is that? Now, just like, this is just a thought, just like a person who is suffering from something, and the doctor is not supposed to tell him that, I think it's a very serious case and I don't have any hopes. If the doctor loses hope, what hope the patient might have? So sometimes you don't tell exactly on somebody's face. So for many people, what is the source of evil? is not disclosed. Like the Zoroastrians, they are told that God is one power and evil is another power, and both equally powerful, or at least very powerful. So you may say, I had an accident yesterday. I lost some money in business. I'm sick. Or somebody is sick. Or we have domestic problems. I have emotional problems. I have this problem. I have that problem. So the only explanation is, look, God, poor God is trying to help you. But the devil is trying to attack you. And if the devil wins, you suffer. Yesterday I passed my exam, or I am getting married, I got a new business, I got a job, I purchased this, I have a new home. All the good things in life, that means the devil lost and God won. Now obviously people have no full notion, because full notion is not, they are not ready for it. So they keep on praying that at least whatever happens in my life, no, God, better he win, otherwise... If something bad happens, then you say, at least he tried. At least he tried, but what can you do? Now, this is a very nice adjustment. You have people who believe in God, but then you have this kind of a problem where you say, how can there be an equally powerful personality just like God who can defeat him sometimes? So they don't have any solution for that. Western philosophers started a new kind of thinking called theodicy. Theology is learning religion. Theodicy is the study of evil, but the study of evil in such a way that you don't know how will you come to any conclusion. And I'm just thinking, what information and knowledge Prabhupada has given. The Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada called it ABCD of spirituality. School text. It's not graduate level, not postgraduate level. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sada Satcha Aham. Good, bad, everything I am. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Now you may say, well, it's a nice verse, it's a nice idea. But how do you reconcile one person and he says, everything comes from me? So you are sick, you are having a problem, you don't have, you have less money or whatever, you come to Radha Krishna and say, please, my God, give this to me, please do this, please. And it comes. And we say, okay, thank you, God, very nice. Then something bad happens and you say, please, but you say, hey, how can I pray to him? He says he's the one who started the whole thing in the first place. So as students of Bhagavad Gita, we are expected to rise much, much higher than these other explanations, which are necessary, because the knowledge is relevant according to the recipient's capacity. Think about it. If a 8th standard student asks, when I eat food, what happens to it? A doctor may say, well, you know, you chew it, then there is a pipe, it goes in, there is a stomach here. An MBBS student asks, well, how does digestion take place? He won't have that kind of explanation, it will be more elaborate. And a gastroenterology student trying to learn MD in gastroenterology, he cannot speak in terms of there is a pipe and there is a bag and this. He may say, hey, you are expected to give much more, you have to give a clear name for it. So that's what happens when you understand, try to understand evil from proper Siddhanta. You have to come to this understanding that, see, just like the government starts a museum, the government starts a railway station, the government begins a hospital or a college or a library. Why? Because they say we want to encourage people to become more intellectual, to become more intelligent, to have recreation facilities. So, playgrounds, stadiums, hospitals, colleges, museums, libraries, all these are begun by a government to expand the liberties of their citizens. Is that okay to understand? To expand the liberty, that means to give more liberty. Do whatever you want. You can enjoy here. You can go from one place to another. And the government also establishes a massive prison house. Now, a prison is not meant for expanding your liberties. A prison is meant for curtailing liberties. So even in our daily life, we have an example of a government doing that. Is that clear? Both things. Some things to give you more liberty, something to take away your existing liberty. Why? It's not like the government artificially says that you went to our school for 15 years, then you used our hospitals, used our playgrounds, now also 5 years just... This is also our own facility. What's the problem? The leader there, the director is a paid government servant, is a very loyal person. No! No sane government has ever done it, nor has it ever encouraged any citizen to experiment with the jail life. So this is a common example. But the government maintains both. In that way, Krishna says, I maintain both. Sad asatcha aham. I am birth, I am death. Again, I repeat, as students of the Bhagavad Gita, we are expected to understand it because so much more information is available. So, throughout world history, there are like the only stories which sell, whether novels, movies, or short stories, are those where evil and good. The fight between good and evil. And normally, if good is shown as all-powerful and evil is shown as weak, there is no fun in it. Just accept the fact. Evil is shown as very powerful, very tricky, magical powers, the ability to vanish with miraculous weapon. And good, what more can be more dramatic than this episode where good is a 6-year-old infant and evil is Putana Balaghatini? The moment Shukadev Goswami uttered Putana Balaghatini, the murderess of infant babies, Parishit Maharaj was immediately like, he knew, he himself was saved by Krishna. He was not even born. And Parishit Maharaj was not interested in Krishna Leela just because, you know, it was a Bhagavatam class for him. It was his life and soul. So Shukadeva Goswami assures him, my dear king, the way you ask questions, you are making me feel as if I am experiencing this incident right now. And he says, Guru Maharaj, the way you are narrating it makes me feel that same thing. So both guru and disciple are not on the banks of the Ganga. They are actually in Krishna Leela. So the moment Parishit Maharaj heard, she is a murderess? I mean, did she actually? And he said, no way. So the very next verse after that is, my dear king, wherever Krishna's name is chanted, these witches and evil powers have no influence. If his name is so powerful, how can he, when he personally is present, how can he have anything, how can he let anything happen to him? So, evil is all powerful, and more than that, evil has changed its shape. Evil doesn't, in this Leela, evil doesn't come with, you know, like a black suit or weaponry in hand and anything written on it. The denizens of Braja, they feel that Lakshmi Devi has come. So as you read, you feel almost, hey, she's Putana, don't allow her inside. But she's come in the palace. No more. Have at least somebody, anybody has here some intelligence. You know whom you're allowing in. As she's entering one quarter after another, she's right in the room where baby Krishna is kept. And Yashoda, Rohini, they are thinking that, well, you know, since the birth of this baby boy, miraculous things are happening.
Maybe, as everybody says, she could be one of the goddesses of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune herself. If he seems to be like Narayan, his consort has to come to take darshan, at least hold him. And then she says, may I? And like a motherly figure who wants to hold his baby, he says, okay, all right. And this, what does a 6-day-old infant have by way of any rights or any power in his hands? What can he do? Most of the thousands who died, they just died helplessly. Just one touch of her nipple with that poison on it and gone. And here, this 6-day-old baby also, when he sees Putana, he just closes the eyes. What a sight. Because he doesn't see her as a beautiful goddess of fortune. He sees her what she is without her makeup. And then, for the first time in her own life, she also feels that this boy can destroy the entire universe. Now, Shukadeva Goswami gives us a hint about her own mindset. So sometimes people ask, do evil people know that they are evil? Of course they know. Do evil people know that others are good? Of course they do. Duryodhan was not saying that Pandavas, Dharmatmas, well, I don't think so. He actually understood. He said, I know what is religion, but I can't do it. Don't ask me why. I know what is irreligion, and don't tell me not to do it. Janamiya madharma, nachamam nivritti. I know what is religion, but I can't simply get away from it. So he says, hey, at least he's honest, at least he's saying, you know, he did this. Why? Why can't you give up adharma? And why can't you side with people of dharma? Kenapi devena. Some power inside makes me behave like this. Some power somewhere. Now this is the only shelter of evil. That there is someone who makes me do it. Right from Hitler, Stalin and everybody else. At one point of time in their life they have said, like, I'm not an evil person, but somebody made me do it. So just look how helpless these people are. They could be rulers of countries, intelligent people, Nobel Prize winners, scientists or whatever. But they are helpless. But those who read the Bhagavad Gita and become students of Bhagavad Gita, the Gita empowers us not to become helpless. Arjuna's question is very pointing. Atha kena prayuktoyam? He doesn't say, any power, Krishna, anybody is beyond you who does it? And Krishna says, well, it's as Rajoguna, Krishna, Arjun. Kamesha, Krodhesha, born of Rajoguna. Are these gunas coming from you? Yes. That means, do you make somebody commit good or evil? Krishna, do you actually give Putana this thought that become evil? He says, Udasinavad asinam asaktam teshu karmasu. He says, Arjun, I am not interested in somebody being elevated and somebody going down. Why should I? Like if we get a bad experience in our life, we go to God and say, why did you do it? He says, me? What makes you feel so special that I am interested in your life to make you go down? Come on. As they say, take a break. You think you are so important that I should meddle in your own life? I mean, Krishna meddles in some people's lives, but they are his pure devotees and they don't complain. Draupadi never complained. Pandavas never complained. Dasharath never complained. They had so many experiences, but never complained. So evil, just like the government maintains institutions for civil liberties, maintains institutions which curtail civil liberties, evil is, according to Vyasadeva's vision, the backside of Krishna.
So if somebody says, I am seeing Krishna, but I am seeing only his backside, so come in the front. That is within your power. You can't say, oh, I can only see the shadow. That means you are not seeing the sun. And the last point is, what happens to evil? In many movies, novels, stories, folk stories everywhere, so they killed the demon and that's it. Or he killed the giant and that's it, and they lived happily ever after. What happened to that fellow who was evil? What happened to him? There is only one place in the entire world today which gives a satisfactory understanding of how evil is actually redeemed, and that's Srimad Bhagavatam. That Putana, Kamsa, Jarasan, Shalva, Shishupal, whoever was killed, it's not like Krishna had... Krishna says, I don't have any enemies. He said, but I saw you frolicking with your friends and trying to kill enemies. He said, Krishna said, no. You may think from your point of view that I hug and embrace somebody and I fight somebody. But all from my point of view, all I do is I reciprocate. He says, believe it or not, I don't have any friends. I only reciprocate. I don't have any enemies. I only reciprocate. Somebody comes to me and says, I want to kill you. He said, okay, then we are... I'll relate to you as an enemy. And because I can't be killed, that fellow gets killed. I mean, it's by default. How can you say that? I am the life of all that lives. If Krishna says in the Gita, I am the life of all that lives. And I am mrityu for everybody else. So, evil is real. Very real in this world. But evil is the opposite side, the back side of Krishna's personality. From the time it comes from him, it is not evil. It reaches us, it becomes evil. Why? Because we want to have that competitive nature to nourish it, to become equal with God, or wanted to defeat him on our terms. So Putana trying to see Krishna in a helpless when trying to kill him is like the personification of this kind of dream mentality. Krishna kills her, not because he wants to kill, but she wants to kill and he reciprocates. And in this way, I think Govinda Prabhu tells a story Madhvacharya told his disciples, that once Krishna in Braja came home and started shouting, Mother! And three mothers came out, Yashoda, Rohini and Putana, who had now become an assistant of Mother Yashoda. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.